Welcome back to the Photography Basics Podcast. This is Phil. Will's here.
And Will.
Oh. And Sam. Sam's here.
Is that what we're doing this time? Oh, okay,
cool. We're all here, and we are so excited to be talking about composition rules. These are ideas, things that you can look out for, ways to place your subject, ways to just change up your composition to try to improve your photography. This is such a visual thing, and we're going to try our best to explain
it. Perfect for a podcast.
Yeah, on a podcast. But if you want to learn and see this in action, just head over to photographyandfriends.com and click on that link at the top that says start here. We have a bunch of free guides, and we've got guides on all of these different composition rules with examples and everything to help you out. Go over there while you're listening right now. And while you're at it.
Unless you're driving.
Yeah, unless you're driving. No. Pull over and do it. All right. Will, Sam, I guess I feel like, are you guys compositional rule haters?
I don't know if I'd say I'm a hater. I think I'm pro rules when you're starting out and trying to figure out what your composition is. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you right now, like, I do not think about these rules when I'm shooting at all.
But your eye naturally,
right? I'm used to
you'll,
it.
You'll look back through your photos, and these rules will be in your photos,
sure,
but right?
Cognitively,
but you're not like, oh, now I'm going to take this type of the rule.
Yeah,
of
you have like a checklist, like rule of thirds, negative space.
But all these things are things that are naturally done by photographers, and it's why they are considered rules,
yes,
because they're ways to have engaging compositions and interesting images.
Yes,
outside of your subject dead center of frame and that being it. It's just ways to get you starting off, like Phil, like Will said, starting off to start thinking about, oh, I can do this a little bit differently, or I can try this and it's going to be more interesting.
It's a good way to push yourself, as if you're concerned with your images and you don't know where to go, you look to the rules to push yourself in that direction and find your personal style and eye.
Yeah. And it's all about looking. I mean, that's at the end of the at the end of the day, right? It's finding these things that lead to a more engaging image.
And I honestly think, I don't know if you guys would agree, but I feel like these are all things that, well, what am I trying to say? I go on social media now, or I go on Instagram, and there's like composition styles or compositions that people are just constantly repeating, or is like very popular right now. Like, I would say right now, unless it's just what I look at, the composition where your subject is like dead center, it's small in the bottom of the frame, is something that I like see constantly. Whereas when we were starting to teach photography online, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, centering your subject in the bottom of a frame, like, wasn't really something that we would have suggested or thought was like a good composition. Maybe it's something that we would have played around with, but that's like a composition. I just see everyone doing that on Instagram. All the travel,
a lot of travel stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the traveling, right?
Exactly. It's all the like getting outdoors travel people. They all have a 16-35 set up on a tripod. They set up a nice landscape, and then they run out into the middle of the frame, and that's a shot. And it's at sunset or sunrise. So the, sky that's filling the top.
Sam got real salty and high levels right now.
I've seen it, and I've done a deep dive into, what are all these people shooting with? And it's literally like everyone, 16 and 35 on their camera. Nothing else matters, because that it's just what you do to be an influencer.
I mean, and that's like, I guess I bring that up to say that there's these things that these compositions that, no matter what your subject is or background is, you're going to see these compositions time and time again. And I guess in some sense, there's trends in what a good or what the way people are composing their images it is. But all that being said, there's these basic rules that we've all kind of learned. So the first one is the rule of thirds. And this is probably like the most popular, like if you look up what compositional rules there are, this is like the very first one you're going to see. And at a very basic definition of this, it's instead of centering your subject in your frame, you are putting your subject to the side of a frame. And in a more technical definition of this, you're splitting your frame into thirds, both horizontally and vertically. And this is why I say you should go to photographyandfriends.com to check out the visual of this, because it's kind of hard to imagine.
It's like a tic-tac-toe box.
It's like a tic-tac-toe box, exactly. Like a grid of 9 squares or rectangles. And you're placing your subject or something that's important visually on those intersections of those lines. So in essence, if you're placing your subject on these intersections, it could be a quote-unquote better, more pleasing image. All right, what do you guys think about the rule of thirds? What do you think about, is that a good first step for beginners to say, okay, don't just put your subject in the center of frame, but try putting them off to the left a little bit, off to the right?
I think the good thing that the rule of thirds does is it makes you think of, if you do move your subject over a little bit, what is going to fill that space? And do you put them in the lower left third, or do you put them in the upper, you know? And it just gets you thinking of more interesting ways to fill your frame, which mm-hmm. I think is a good thing. And you can even, a lot of cameras will even have an overlay of that grid mm-hmm. where you get the, you know, 2 lines across and 2 lines vertically.
Yeah, you can do it on your mobile phone for sure.
Yeah, and you can sort of, the concept is to place a face or, you know, important thing at one of those intersection points. But you also are then left with all this other space, and you have to think of how you fill that space to make it, you know, engaging. Mm-hmm. And I think it is it's a good tool to think about. But I also think some people get a little hung up on that you have to do that. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, every picture of a person, they're, you know,
they're on the left side.
They're on the left side. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same image over and over. And it's like, it's something to play with more than anything. But it is a good thing to at least get you thinking of other ways of framing your mm-hmm. thought.
Yeah, again, I think it's a guide more than anything. And that being said, like, use it to inform yourself and pushing your compositions if you're confused or not used to it, or, you know, again, not every photo needs to be specifically that, but also it's also a good way to start.
Yeah. So you mentioned like the space, and I think that brings us to sort of the next, not really a rule, but a style or a contrast of styles, which is more of a negative space style Ooh. Photo versus something that I don't even know if there's like a term, but more a busier space or
positive space.
Yeah, I guess. Well,
wow.
I guess Okay, let's define what negative space would look like. Is where you have a subject or something in your photo, and then outside of that subject, there's not as much busyness. So you're looking at a subject with a blue sky in the background, and in contrast to a subject that's in front of a building with a window, with people in the background, with lights in the background moving around, that's a lot busier. So the point of negative space is that you are sort of trying to have your subject singled out, and that is purely the main focus. And I don't know, I guess that's what negative space is to me anyways.
I would consider negative space to be that at least a third, if not 2/3 of your frame is nothing. Whether it's sky or a wall or whatever it is, it's just blank, empty space. And it might be colorful or whatever it is, but there's nothing there necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other third is a subject or whatever it might be. But it's really like a majority of your frame is empty.
I think for me, it's the lack of any sort of relation to your subject. So like, it can be something, I think. It just needs to not really, it needs to be like, it, I guess that's where the term comes. It needs to be like negative your subject. And that's like in all art or in like painting or whatever. Like, you could have a macro shot of someone's like nose and their cheek and put their nose all the way to the left of the frame, just a sliver, and the rest of the frame is just their cheek, and that's the negative space. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like space that's I'm trying to think mathematically, like negative to a positive, to so like negative to what your subject is.
Well, and that's I'm just kind of looking it up. So the positive space of our photo would is actually the subject.
Yeah.
So I guess in this style of negative space, what Sam is saying and what you think about with a negative space kind of composition is where the positive space is smaller in relationship to that negative space.
Right. The negative is the majority of the photo.
And I think that's kind of, I mean, maybe a different compositional style, though, would be one where it's just a busier photograph and it's just more going on in the background. And again, this is not to say that one is better than the other. It's just that you can think about trying out these two different styles in your photography to tell, I guess, a different story in a sense.
One of my real good examples of like switching between those two compositions, and it's like using Sam's example of the sky, is when I'm shooting a wedding and I'm looking down an aisle, a normal photograph would just be like couple dead center, first kiss, right? Like you just see everything going on that's busy. You see the people around them, you see the guests. And then I switch it up really quick. I tilt my camera up a certain degree and I crop out the crowd, I crop out everyone, and all I see is just the couple, and it's cut off at their arms, and you just see like their heads, and then the rest of the top of the frame is just all sky or like, you know, the archway or whatever they're under, and it's just them. So those are like, and to catch that quickly, right? You're doing like a busy photo and then quickly tilt up, grab that negative space photo. And often that's awesome because it's just them. That composition tells me it's just them in space. Like it's just them in the world, it's just them, their relationship. Like it says a lot more versus, you know, it says something different, not more than just shooting them down the center with the aisle and the crowd and the other people. There's more people, it's busier, right? So those are like, that's a very good example of me trying to do those two things at once and a quick way to get a negative space shot versus a busy shot, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I think a really big part of this as well is like the reason people use, you know, all white backdrop or a solid color backdrop is that your focus becomes your subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so with negative space, especially in like Will's example, all of a sudden, all you're going to focus on is that couple in space. There's nothing else to distract you from them. That is your focus. On the other end of that is that by having people, by having other textures, by having, you know, doing a portrait shoot with a blank backdrop, your focus is that person. If you do a portrait shoot out in the woods, you know, it's that you're using that location. You're using the woods around you or the natural environment. And that changes the mood and sort of the feel of the photo so much. Yeah. And if you are able to actually get, you know, a busy photo and then quickly switch to get a negative space photo, that's where, you know, being a photographer, especially working an event, where you're getting diversity in the types of photos you're taking. And that's the important thing with all this, you know, do the rule of thirds shot, but then also do a, you know, dead center shot, and then also do a negative space shot. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess maybe with Instagram and social media, some people are like, oh, well, I'm just a negative space photographer and they only do that because you have to, you know, take all the same photo. But I think realistically, as a photographer, and especially professionally, you need to have all these sort of looks in your toolbox. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll make sense and sometimes maybe it won't be the right feel, but it's good to find all those.
And you practice it and you get it and you develop it and you can use it when you need it.
Exactly.
Well, and I think what, you know, you're saying is that it's all towards like taking a photo and almost directing the viewer's eye to whatever your subject is. And I think it's a different argument or debate whether a photo always has a subject, should it have one subject and that kind of thing. But another sort of compositional element that will help naturally draw your viewer's eye to that subject is what's called leading lines. And this is something, honestly, as a beginner, I didn't pay attention to. I didn't really get it when I was starting out. And I thought it was like always had to be like super in your face. Like here's lines that are pointing to your subject, but it goes beyond that. But to back up, the basic sort of definition or idea is that within your frame, within your composition, there's going to be lines naturally occurring in your photo. It could be streets, it could be sidewalks, it could be signposts, it could be a fence, it could be all kinds of things. But by placing your subject where those lines are sort of pointing to or going towards, your eye, when you see a photo and there's these lines going through them, through that photo, your eye kind of naturally follows them and ends up at that intersection of lines or wherever those lines are going. And so that can be sort of a natural way that creates, again, just another more pleasing sort of image. Is there, again, I feel like I try to define these things and then I pass it off to you guys to further explain, or to, is there something I missed or any other thing with leading lines?
I think the cool thing about leading lines is that they're all the same, but they can also like be hidden. Mm-hmm. I think we did a little video about this one time, and they don't always have to be, you know, straightforward lines. Like they can be like a crowd of people in a line, or, you know, some animals heading in like in a direction, or the leading lines of like a car, like if the car is facing you and your eye catches it. I mean, that's the way cars are designed, right? Like to make it look like it's flowing. So thinking about your compositions and like finding those lines that give it movement or give your eye a path to follow down. Again, like these are like podcasts. This is hard to like describe, but yeah. A car facing you, if you're like in the corner of the car and you just see it, like the headlight from one side, and you look at the lines from the headlight all the way down to the taillight, that's sort of like your eye following into a frame. And imagine that's a frame. That would kind of be like a leading line, sort of.
Yeah. Or I think like another good visual example is like, imagine you're standing in like an open field or open on an open road, just that's going straight down, you know, to the middle of nowhere. You're in the middle of Kansas and there's just one road, you're looking down it, and just the edges of the road or the, you know, stripe in the middle of the road, that those lines are just going and it's converging because it's starting, you know, on the outside of your eyes on the left and right, but it just ends up converging. And that's like a very specific, like easy example of like those lines are converging. And if you put a subject down there in the middle of where those lines are converging, that is kind of fulfilling that
feeling. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's called an infinity point, but there's like a concept with painting, with photo taking, where, you know, everything is doing that. It's like everything's leading your eye to a point. Mm-hmm. I think another way to think about leading lines as well, though, is like if you're taking a portrait of someone and like it's a profile, if they're looking in a certain direction, your eyes naturally sort of move with that. And so, or they're looking at you. And so then if you're using the background, if you're using other elements, if those lines are complementing the positioning or the, you know, sort of where the person's looking, you know, if they're looking up and they're in the middle of these woods, that's going to give this vertical movement and it'll give that feel. Now, if you have someone's face right up against the edge of your frame, it gives a very different feeling if there's, you know, space behind their face, but their face is on the edge of that. And, you know, I think there's a lot of, you know, really it gets into psychology of like the mood of the photo. You know, someone with a lot of space around them is going to feel very open and free, whereas if their face is right against the edge, it's going to feel very trapped.
You're right.
And you can find these lines to accentuate that feeling, you know, make it feel more closed off, more trapped, not just with the edge of your frame, but with a pole, you know, on either side of them or something. And it's all into composition of, you know, how you're using the different lines, the different objects, to create that sort of, you know,
Well, I think like speaking of lines too, this kind of goes to something. The next sort of idea is like this idea of like having balance or symmetry in your image, but literally with balance, you know, making your horizons level and or not if you don't want to, but generally you want horizons to be level. If you're taking photos of buildings or of anything where there's lines that are level in the world, in your photos, you want to try to get those lines to be level too, unless you're saying you're trying to say something different with your photo. But that's like a very basic thing to improve your photography, is level out those horizons while you're shooting, or in post-production, crop it, rotate so that those lines are level. But also beyond that, this idea of balance and symmetry is something to think about when you're taking photos. First, symmetry is like a cool sort of style of like trying to find compositions where on both the left and the right, it balances each other out. It could be a reflection, or it could be even the way that there's like colors. Maybe on the left, it's mostly reds. On the right, it's mostly blues. And it's kind of a contrast of symmetry or not symmetrical. But these are just other... just another thing to think about with taking photos, I guess, or composing your image.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people find those reflection shots, or within architecture shots, you know, that symmetry is so pleasing. And so there's something almost surreal about an entire frame filled with, you know, there's like buildings in China or Asia somewhere. And it's just the magnitude, the size, scale is so surreal. But it's a perfect symmetrical shape that's filling your frame. And there's something so pleasing about that, I think, visually for the eye. And then also to then play with that, like you said, to you know, maybe have it feel a little off-centered, or, you know, when with portraiture, to make, you know, your subject feel more balanced in the frame. It's not always just blank space next to them, but it's something that sort of fills it in and creates a bit more balance. And, you know, that can be done with, like you said, color, can be done with lighting, it can be done with lines, it can be done with so many different things that fill the frame and balance it in some way, or, you know, adds contrast and adds, you know, a sense of imbalance.
Yeah, I think this is probably a pretty good overview of a lot of different compositional styles or rules.
It's a lot.
That, as we said, are meant to be broken, are meant to be played with. But at the end of the day, it's just another kind of tool in your tool belt to go back to. And if you find yourself always photographing things just dead center, or just using the rule of thirds, play around with it, change it up, and that's what's going to make you a better photographer and tell more stories with your photos. So next,
push it to the limit.
Push it. Next, we are going to be learning more about focus and how that can be a compositional element as well. We'll see you then.
See ya.
See ya.